Werbung.
Ja, beim Trading an der Börse gibt es ja nun immer Bewegung. Wie man darauf reagiert, well, das ist die eigene Entscheidung. Und gerade aktive Trader wissen, bei jeder Entscheidung zählt nicht nur, was man handelt, sondern auch wie und wo man handelt. Es braucht die richtigen Funktionen. Denn was bringt jetzt der richtige Trade, wenn die Rahmenbedingungen nicht passen? Genau da setzt mein heutiger Werbepartner an, TradeGate Direct. Die Trading-App wurde speziell für aktive und erfahrene Trader entwickelt, also für Anleger, die direkten Marktzugang, Kontrolle und Transparenz wollen. Ihr handelt dort direkt über die TradeGate BSX, Europas liquideste Retail-Börse, ohne Intermediäre. Gerade in volatilen Märkten ist das ein ganz wichtiger Punkt. Dazu kommen lange Handelszeiten von 7.30 Uhr bis 22 Uhr, intelligente Ordertypen, detaillierte Performanceberichte und ein wirklich breites Angebot an handelbaren Wertpapieren. Und das Trading selbst ist dauerhaft kostenfrei. Marktübliche Spreads können natürlich anfallen. Was ich persönlich spannend finde, TradeGate Direct wurde von Börsenprofis gebaut für aktive Trader mit Fokus auf professionelle Infrastruktur und präzise Ausführung. Wer sich das genauer anschauen will, ein Depot könnt ihr in wenigen Minuten eröffnen. Den Link zu TradeGate Direct findet ihr wie immer in den Shownotes.
Werbung Ende.
Herzlich willkommen zu einem weiteren Sonderpodcast, featured bei Handelsblatt im Rahmen der Foundation for the Study of Cycles. Wir haben heute im Gespräch Elliot Praktor, dessen Vater die Elliott-Wellentheorie weltweit bekannt gemacht hat. Das Interview ist auf Englisch. Wer Untertitel haben möchte, findet den gleichen Beitrag bei mir auf YouTube. Wir sind bei der Foundation for the Study of Cycles, einer Zyklenkonferenz in New York, und wir treffen Elliot Praktor. Wer an der Wall Street arbeitet oder an den globalen Kapitalmärkten, der kennt die Elliott-Wellentheorie, die schon in den 1930er Jahren entwickelt wurde. Robert Praktor, der Vater von Elliott, hat diese Art der Analyse groß gemacht. Elliott selber fokussiert sich heute auf den Aspekt der Software und der künstlichen Intelligenz, also diese Elliott-Wave-Theorie praktisch nutzbarer zu machen. Was sagt die Elliott-Wave-Theorie über kollektive Psychologie und wie können Anleger vermeiden, an wichtigen Wendepunkten ein Teil der Herde zu sein?
If someone would be new to that kind of analysis, how would you describe Elliott-Wave in simple sentences?
Well, okay, I think the simplest way to understand it is it's a description of the price patterns that unfold over and over again in financial markets. So Elliott Wave Theory is really the study of these price patterns. So you could imagine that understanding the way these patterns behave might be of use to you if you're a trader or an investor.
Let's look back to the early 1930s when the Elliott Wave Theory was developed first time. How did the connection happen between your father and the person that originally developed it?
Well, the person who originally developed Elliott Wave Theory was R.N. Elliott, Ralph Nelson Elliott, and he was an accountant. And he became ill and was bedridden for a long period of time. And during that time, he spent hours and hours every day poring over market charts. And he kept noticing these recurring patterns in price and time. My father, when he came across the Elliott Wave Theory, believe it or not, the only way at that time, which was, I believe that was in the 70s, to read about the theory was on microfilm, because they didn't even have full books. So the information about it that R.N. Elliott had written about was almost lost to history. And of course, he had prints created from the microfilm and popularized it a lot during the 80s. So we almost didn't recover this theory.
When did Elliott Wave Theory really blow up? I mean, everybody on Wall Street knows Elliott Wave Theory.
Yeah, the heyday when it was most popular was in the 1980s. My father had predicted a repeat of the Roaring 20s right around the late 70s and early 80s. which of course went against the consensus at that time, which was mostly doom and gloom, which is completely understandable when you have interest rates at 18% and just very scary, you know, runaway inflation. I think that was the worst, I think it's the worst inflationary period in U.S. history, aside from maybe the Continental, I guess.
So you talked about your father making that public as a book and then going into this period where it gets known everywhere. How do you feel now, a generation after that, taking that forward? Or how has your father convinced you that you should continue that road?
The thing that really caught my attention was the crash of 2008. And that was when it just struck me that financial analysis has a big impact. And for me, it was beyond just a portfolio or numbers or even thinking about my own investments. It was more of a visceral feeling of, wow, these cycles in the market, they affect people in a very dramatic way. And I could see it, you know, going to work and people would be all depressed sitting at their offices back in 08. Meanwhile, I'm like, no, I'm 4X short the banks right now. I'm loving this, but I'm not going to say anything to anybody about it, you know, who's unhappy with what's happening. So that was a big hook for me. Like, oh, this is useful.
How did technology change the functionality of Elliott Wave? Or are there no big changes compared to the 70s or 80s?
We found that the behavior of Elliott Waves really hasn't changed in spite of the technology. Markets, despite all the technology, there's still a human being behind that's calling the shots. Even if you have, say, a fully quantitative model that's automated, at the end of the day, there's still a person who developed the model, a person who is still running or deciding when to stop the model if they don't like the results. So it's still, I think humans are still the drivers of what happens in the market. And I think Elliott Waves are a reflection of that psychology.
Are there differences between applying Elliott Wave theory on equities, bonds, currencies, cryptocurrencies?
There's some differences. With the E-Wave software in particular that I developed, I treat all markets the same, actually. But there are definitely differences. And one example that I gave earlier today was that in commodity markets, you tend to get these large fifth wave blow-off moves more often than you get in, say, equities. So we do know that there are some differences.
So these days, we have the computer power to detect patterns, as you introduced. Elliott Waves are patterns in price structure. Yes. So, and I think a challenge always was with Elliott Waves, someone needs to sit in front of a price chart and make a decision where to put this pattern. And it's always easy to see a pattern after the fact. And I think you are now pushing this into a kind of computer automated supported way, which is, I think, another big step which is required, because every Elliott Wave analyst might come up with a different count. So how do you see that, and what is E-Wave maybe solving in that context?
If you used computers back in the 80s, you might have some idea that they didn't have a lot of horsepower behind them. And it actually takes a tremendous amount of computing power to do these Elliott Wave analysis, even today. And I've got a really souped up computer that I use for it. And even then, it's a lot slower than I would like. So there's a lot of computing power that's necessary. So I would say it wasn't until more recently that we really had the power we needed to be able to run the program well. And of course, what I've been doing is I rewrote the entire thing and modernized it, you know, and kind of brought it up into the modern era, so to speak. And so that's the E-Wave's origin story.
But I think you have included a way to find, isolate, and detect counts and wave patterns right now. So you don't need to do it manually. So E-Wave is doing that for you, right?
Yes. I mean, E-Waves does do the wave count. It's an automated process, so you don't have to sit there by hand and sketch out the wave pattern, which, like you said earlier, can be very tricky because when you're looking at a chart, you're going to have partial patterns most of the time. And that's why in my presentation earlier, I wanted to show that particular example where we had the market coiling up and it looked like it was a triangle and we're going to burst up out of the triangle, right, which is a common pattern. And the market did the exact opposite because that was actually part of a partial pattern. It was not a finished triangle. It was part of yet another pattern. So there's all these kind of very tricky situations you get into with partial patterns. So it's been quite a challenge to develop the program to deal with the inherent partialness of the data we're working with. But that's why the program does a lot of extrapolation work, like I showed, where it can try to complete the pattern in its head. So it's always kind of imagining, okay, if this is a partially formed pattern, where might the market go next and what would that look like?
Does it remove this subjective decision-making of the analyst, which we had before, which made me crazy following different Elliott Wave experts showing different counts? I think that cannot be the case. There are clear rules, yeah, published in the book. So why can they come up with different outcomes?
Okay, so there are, of course, rules that do constrain the wave counts that are legal as well as the wave counts that are illegal, so to speak. And that's one common baseline that all analysts should follow. I've seen many blog posts where they obviously don't know about the rules and you get some really weird looking counts. But even at that basis, okay, that's a nice foundation for the Elliott Wave theory. But then there's, of course, the area where probability comes into play and guidelines come into play. And when you get to that area of the theory, where you have different alternative wave counts or different ways that are legal of labeling a chart and you're trying to pick between them, that's where you get different analysts that may disagree. Very similar to the cycles work you were talking about, where you say sometimes there are cycles going in different directions and the right answer is to be neutral. So I would say it's the same with Elliott waves. So what we've done with E waves, of course, that a human can't do is that instead of using guidelines, you know, I use the word guidelines because that's what we're all familiar with, but E waves, the program itself does not have guidelines. You know, the guidelines, so to speak, that I refer to are just part of what the model, how the model learns the behavior of the patterns, which is an automatic learning process that it does. But we can, of course, study the resulting model and kind of see, hey, is it behaving in a way that conforms to the original guidelines that Aaron Elliott wrote about? And like I said before, we've, for the most part, have found that it's in agreement with his observations.
Werbung.
Die gefährlichsten Dinge an der Wall Street, ja, die kommen selten mit Blaulicht. Sie kommen leise, als Euphorie, als Panik oder als dieses Mal ist aber alles anders. Und was für den Aktienmarkt gilt, das gilt fürs Internet genauso. Eine Mail der Bank, ein Paket, das angeblich nicht zugestellt werden konnte, ein Online-Shop mit einem Angebot, das fast zu gut aussieht, um wahr zu sein. Und genau da beginnt das Problem. Früher hat man Betrug im Netz noch an drei Rechtschreibfehlern und einem Prinzen aus Nigeria erkannt. Heute sehen Fake-Webseiten teilweise professioneller aus als die echten. Ein falscher Klick und plötzlich wird aus einem Schnäppchen ein ziemlich teurer Trade. Deshalb nutze ich seit Jahren NordVPN. Und wichtig, NordVPN ist längst nicht mehr nur ein klassisches VPN. NordVPN wurde zu einer digitalen All-in-One-Sicherheitslösung weiterentwickelt. Mit VPN, Antivirus der neuesten Generation und weiteren Funktionen je nach gewähltem Paket. Der Schutz setzt also nicht erst dann an, wenn die Malware schon auf dem Rechner ist. Er greift früher. Bei Phishing-Links, Fake-Shops, betrügerischen Webseiten, gefährlichen Downloads, Trackern und nerviger Werbung. Und mit dem Dark-Web-Monitor kann NordVPN dich außerdem benachrichtigen, wenn deine geleakten Daten irgendwo im Dark-Web auftauchen, damit du reagieren kannst, zum Beispiel, indem du Passwörter änderst. Für mich ist das digitales Risikomanagement. An der Wall Street fragt man ja auch nicht. Was kann schon schiefgehen? Man fragt, was passiert, wenn ich mich irre? Und das Ganze läuft über eine App mit einem Abo auf bis zu 10 Geräten. Laptop, Smartphone, Tablet oder Smart TV. Mit meinem Link nordvpn.com/wallstreet bekommt ihr aktuell den exklusiven NordVPN Deal Plus, 4 extra Monate obendrauf und das Ganze mit 30 Tagen Geld-Zurück-Garantie. Den Link findet ihr wie immer in den Shownotes.
Is there any cross-checking taking place between the results of E-Waves and the official Elliott Wave International interpretation of what the markets are doing?
Cross-checking?
Yeah, see? That you compare and
do we compare
notes? If there are differences.
You know, to be honest, we've tried to have various analysts follow the same course. But if you've ever worked with analysts before, you know that they have each have their own opinion. And so people do much better work when they're allowed to just use their own opinion. And they have access to E-Waves and they'll refer to it. And so I've a lot of times see, oh, that's the count we're producing from the system. And they're talking about it, you know, in their work. And I love to see that.
Maybe in simple terms, very often retail investors ask me, you know, looks really super interesting. Where do I actually start? How can I get a good understanding of what it actually does? How would you recommend somebody that is interested in working with Elliott Wave Theory actually get into it and get started?
Getting started. Okay. Yeah, the E-Wave software, in my opinion, is for people who are already know a bit about Elliott Wave Theory. If you're brand new and you just want to get a grip, then I'd actually recommend going to ElliottWave.com. And we have a lot of educational material on there. We've got a lot of books. We've got a section called Wavepedia, where they explain all the core Elliott Wave patterns and their behavior. A lot more elaborate detail than, you know, what I did today. And then they also have a service that I like called Traders Classroom. And that's really a very introductory service where it's really focused on education and teaching people how to do it yourself, as opposed to, say, a forecasting service or other types of services that, you know, assume you know a little bit more about it.
Looking at 2026, you know, stocks are going parabolic in the semiconductor area.
Yes.
I mean, is there anything that, you know, that you specifically look at the moment that makes you nervous about the market or any change in regime that is happening right now?
Well, what I did say in my presentation today was we went through the wave count that E-Waves is doing from 2009. Now, I only showed it through 2020, but that was enough to show you that we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, which means that I believe we've been in the final fifth wave from the 2020 lows. And of course, this is manifested in a lot of interesting investor behavior. Like I had mentioned, the NFT craze that happened, that's been in this fifth wave. And a big characteristic of fifth waves is that if you compare them, especially against wave three, so fifth waves can be quite large, but no matter how large they are, they're still the final wave in the sequence.
Other than the market breadth, which is pretty weak at the moment, is there something like an asset class that usually pre-runs equities or that can give you kind of like a signal that the market overall is starting to weaken?
I'm tempted to say yes, because I see that kind of thing all the time. But at the same time, with Elliott Wave Theory, I've also noticed that it's often best to treat every market independently, because those kinds of correlations come at certain times and then they go at other times. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, what I'm tempted to say here is Bitcoin is something to watch. It's moved in lockstep with the NASDAQ. So contrary to what some people say, where they say, you know, it's a safe haven asset, if you look at its behavior, you'll notice it behaves more like a risk-on asset, you know, moving fairly much, highly correlated with the NASDAQ. And so, of course, right now we have a large divergence where the NASDAQ 100 has been just skyrocketing higher and the crypto people are not participating. Now, that divergence could be erased, of course, if Bitcoin moves higher, but if it persists, you know, maybe that's the tech version of the Dow theory sell signal, you could say. Maybe it's the Dow theory 2.0.
What is your favorite pattern you prefer? I know we talked about the impulse pattern 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, but there are more than that. And I think, do you have a favorite pattern?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that one's tough to answer. But no, I think it would probably be the flat pattern. That was, And it's just the one that fools the most people. Okay. Because it's the market starts to go down, and then it moves up to a brand new high, and it looks so much like the continuation of a trend. But like I said, if you study very carefully what's happening under the Elliott Wave model, it's a corrective move down and a corrective move up. And then the market has a very swift, oftentimes, crash at that point, and it catches everybody off guard. So I like that because it's the pattern that causes the most damage. So maybe it's a bit of schadenfreude on my part that love the flat. So
thank you, Elliott.
Elliott, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Und jetzt der obligatorische und BaFin-sichere Risikohinweis von Mr. Markus Koch.
Meine Damen und Herren, liebe Aufsichtsbehörden, ich darf Sie darauf hinweisen, dass die Inhalte in diesem Video ausschließlich der allgemeinen Information dienen und keiner Empfehlungen zum Erwerb oder der Veräußerung bestimmter Finanzinstrumente und somit keine Anlageberatung darstellen. Insbesondere können Wall Street Correspondents und der Vortragende nicht einschätzen, inwiefern die im Video gemachten Empfehlungen ihren Anlagezielen, ihrer Risikobereitschaft und Verlusttragfähigkeit entsprechen. Wer also auf Basis von Informationen in diesem Video etwaige Anlageentscheidungen trifft, trifft diese ausschließlich auf eigene Verantwortung und eigene Gefahr. Und das wiederum bedeutet, dass weder Wall Street Correspondent noch der Vortragende, das ist immer noch dieser Mann hier, für Verluste haften, die sie dadurch erleiden, dass sie Anlageentscheidungen aufgrund von Informationen oder Kommentaren in diesem Video getroffen haben. Vielen Dank für die Aufmerksamkeit und weiterhin einen erfolgreichen Handelstag.